Good morning, everybody. If you're visiting today, welcome. My name's Pete Townsend, and I'd like to begin by first wishing everyone a Happy New Year. Almost said Merry Christmas then. So, you may have noticed that I just lit a candle that I'm calling the Jesus candle. That's all I'm going to say about it right now. I'll share more later. So, as I said, Happy New Year. We've got our new projector. I did have a video of fireworks going off, but it crashed the computer. So, I've just got a picture. Who here is excited about 2024? I have heard a lot on social media and mainstream media how tough 2023 was. Some are saying, thank goodness the year is over. Okay, let's try again. Hands up if you are pleased to see the back of 2023. We don't need to try too hard, do we, to think of events around the world that have been pretty rough this year. Back in February, we had a massive earthquake killing over 59,000 people in Turkey. Inflation around the world has been spiraling out of control. Let's hope it improves in 2024 and not gets worse. Climate change. They say it's the hottest year on record. ChatGPT. GPT, yes, I got that right. Awesome. Artificial intelligence taking over. It turns out the movie Terminator was not fiction after all. We have the continued conflict in Ukraine with Russia, and sadly this year in October, Hamas and Israel conflict. In searching Google this week, I learned that we have 183 separate conflicts currently happening throughout the world. And I also learned that we have ticked over 8 billion people currently alive on Earth. When I was born in 1975, there was 4 billion people. So our population has doubled. Oh, jumped ahead. Thank goodness we can stay up to midnight tonight and put this year behind us. We can have a do-over. Tomorrow morning is a fresh start. A clean slate. We can draw a line in the sand, an opportunity to do life differently. We often hear of New Year's resolutions, the world's answer to improving your life in the coming year. Make a list of all the things you're going to change or improve, weight loss, and things that you're going to strive to master. But be sure to master it in the first 10 to 14 days, because New Year's resolutions don't usually last longer than 14 days. And so you'd have to try again in 2025 if you haven't completed it in the first 2 weeks. A worldwide survey that I came across, can you see that with our new screen? Yeah, it's still not great, but it's better. It says that 73% of New Zealanders are optimistic about 2024. I don't think that 73% is sitting in here. But if you are going into the new year with a bit of fear attached to what's next, maybe you're lying awake at night worrying that Donald Trump is going to be president again. Maybe you're fearful of another pandemic. Or that AI really is taking over the world, and we're all going to lose our jobs. Or an asteroid is going to hit the Earth and we're all going to die. But don't despair. When Carla and I got married 20-odd years ago, and yes, I do love how I've linked fear with the future, fear of the future with marrying Carla, but let me continue. When Carla and I got married, we inscribed in our wedding rings a verse that was meaningful to each of us. Carla picked Jeremiah 29:11, inscribed into my ring. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." If you're feeling that this year has been a bit hard, it might be some of the world events that I've already mentioned that are causing a burden for you. Or it might be a little bit closer to home for you. It might be your health, a financial situation, loss of a loved one, or an issue with a family relationship. I want to say to you, I am sorry. It is hard. I wish I could make your pain go away, but I can't. The pain that you might be experiencing could make this verse a little difficult to swallow, as you feel the world is falling apart around you. But let's try to digest this together. If we read on to verses 12 to 14, it goes on to say, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes." Oops. What are these verses saying to you? I'll just pause and let you just sit with that. As you ponder these verses, I'll share with you what these verses say to me. For me, when I was marrying Carla, this verse was really special. It painted a picture of our whole life together. So many hopes and dreams as we grow together and experience life. And a bit of fear of the unknown that's ahead, but knowing that God is with Carla and I. Now, a few years later, as we approach a new season in our life, this verse has a new sense of meaning for me. As we embark on a new adventure, this verse doesn't so much speak of our whole life together, but this new season in our life as I go to study at Carey Baptist College. I see this verse as a bit of a conversation that I'm having with God this year. As I seek Him, it goes a little like this. "Lord, should I give up my job at Farmlands and go study full time? Pete, I know the plans I have for you. Lord, are you saying I'll be a pastor one day? Pete, that is not what I said. Just take it one step at a time. I know the plan I have for you. They are plans for good, not disasters." Okay, awesome. So over the next couple of years, everything is going to go as planned and there will be no disasters for me. "No, Pete, that is not what I said. My plans are for good, so that you will have a future and a hope to hold on to. You need to hold on to that hope when disasters are happening around you. Believe in my plan, Pete, and that will give you the perseverance you need. But Lord, I don't know if that will be enough. Pete, when you pray, I will listen. When you search for me, you will find me." How exciting is that promise from God? When you pray, He is listening. When you seek Him, you will find Him. What stops us communicating and seeking God? I've written down a few bullet points of what stops me. See if some of these resonate. The busyness of the day. Different priorities. Sometimes putting work ahead of God. And then the exact opposite of that, procrastination. Sometimes putting nothing ahead of God. Feeling too tired. Fears and worry. Health. Finances. Disunity. And my own self-importance. You may have other words come into your mind that resonate for you. What then is the cure? How do you regularly communicate and seek God? Let's go interactive. Call out. How do you seek God and communicate with God? Go ahead. Talk to him. Oh, so meditation. I didn't have that one written down here. Very good. How else do you communicate with God? Sorry? Praise him. Praise and worship. Sorry? Oh, nice. Observing nature. Yeah, serving. Reading the Bible. That's always a good one. Excellent. It might be a daily devotion that you have each morning when you start your day. Maybe it's journaling, writing your own personal letters to God. Or listening to sermons, watching Shine TV. All of these options are really good. And if you've heard something that was shared just then that you're not doing and you think, that's a good idea, by all means, start doing it. It can only bring you closer to the Lord. However, I'm going to suggest something more. This world is a hard place to live. We are constantly getting knocked down by one disaster after another. This verse that we've read has not said we have to battle these disasters alone. When I go to Kerry next year, I'm not doing that alone. I have an entire congregation, and possibly visitors now that you've met me, of over 100 people in my corner, supporting me, wanting to hear my highs and my lows, my wins and my disasters. When I share my stories with you, it strengthens my hope and future. It also energizes you. When you hear my God stories and how God rescues me from one disaster after another, your hope grows, and you too seek God for your future and see him in your everyday. When we share with each other what God is doing, the light in our spirit shines even brighter. It becomes infectious, and we shine that light into others' lives. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Jesus was speaking, and he says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house." We can't keep God private. Share our experiences. On that note, I'd like to call up Frances to come and share her God story. This is Frances.
Good morning, everybody. This is my personal emotional storm testimonial story. For almost 3 years, I have been struggling with issues in relation to a few athletes in indoor bowls, Special Olympics, and other situations that have had an impact on my emotional well-being. In February 2021, my future intended and I lost contact through no fault on either side. The sudden loss of contact without any explanation was devastating and very upsetting. In June of 2021, two A-grade bowlers left because of financial difficulties, and I was left with the top position of the A-grade team. Through some misunderstanding somewhere, two other athletes in the B-grade decided that they were going to help me, even though I did not ask for them to do that. In October 2021, an announcement was made that the National Summer Games were going to be postponed until 2022. At first I thought, no, that's not fair. But then I thought, that's okay. It will give me a chance to work with my team and gel with them. At the beginning of 2022, when indoor bowls training started up again, my coach, Sally, was not able to be there for the first two sessions. I was at the second session and was very growly with one of the B-grade athletes over her actions with another athlete. In indoor bowls, we have certain rules we have to abide by, and the athlete was not following the rule very well. There was a moment of upset, but I somehow got through it. In July of 2022, we athletes were told that our assistant coach was diagnosed with a terminal illness and would not survive for very long. I was in Pairoa visiting a very dear friend when I got the news that he had passed away. As the year progressed, other things got on top of me emotionally, and I felt like a big weight was on my shoulders. I went to the National Summer Games with the hope of achieving 3 gold medals, but circumstances beyond my control put paid to that, and I only achieved 2 silvers and a 5th place. I was thoroughly disappointed with myself and how the games had gone for me. 2023 had its ups and downs as well, but not nearly as bad. I was recently told by my indoor bowls coach that I had to pull my head in. I looked that up on ChatGPT and got the meaning and explanation for that. After spending most of Saturday, 9th of December, feeling frustrated and angry and in despair, I went for a walk up the road to get some groceries and then returned home. When I got home, I felt an overwhelming sense to cry, so grabbing the nearest towel and sitting down, I did just that. After talking to a friend of mine, I went to bed and slept a few hours. I awoke with a start, and after some time, I felt a warm, calming presence and an uplifting of my spirit. I felt that my spiritual eyes were opened for the first time in a very long time, and that I could understand so much more than I thought was possible. I could clearly see that my behavior was wrong and that I really needed to do something about it. I asked God for forgiveness and asked Him to help me to see and understand what I could not see or understand before. I felt an overwhelming sense of calm, peace, hope, and joy that could only have come from Him. I started listening to worship songs and praying and laughing and crying at the same time. It was a very special moment in my life, and Jesus was part of it. If you truly believe that Jesus loves you, He will be with you wherever you go. Just keep your eyes on Him and ask Him to help you to do whatever it is that is important to you.
Thank you, Frances. That's an incredible story. How have you felt since that day that Jesus had that experience with you?
The first 7 days, I felt like I was on cloud nine, and I've slowly come down to earth, but I still have a feeling of peace and calm and hope and love, and I keep asking that He will continue to fill me with all of those things and stay with me.
How did that make you feel, hearing Frances sharing her story? Did it remind you of a time God stepped into your life? Did your heart just swell with excitement listening to her share? Did you feel blessed that Frances was willing to share that with you all? Did it bring God alive for you? Do you want others to experience those same feelings? Maybe a family member, or a friend, or a neighbor. I encourage you, maybe this could be our church's hope and future as we enter into 2024. Invite someone to church. Don't be discouraged if they say no. Just continue to invite them. Share with them your God experiences. Share where you see God in your daily walk. If you are reading devotions in the morning, share what you got from that. Gently tell the world what God is doing in your life. Let our light shine. Be the city on the hill. Be part of growing God's kingdom here on earth. Yes, we will encounter more disasters. But keep seeking God, keep praying, and He will restore you. God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for all of our lives. He has a plan for our church, our community, and our nation. Here is my message in a nutshell. Life, I put, can be hard. I think I could change that to is hard. But seek God. for all your hope and future. Share with others what God is doing. Be the city on the hill. Let your light shine bright. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord, for I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. No, I'm going to leave that. God has made a promise. Hold on to that promise as we enter into 2024. I have here on the communion table candles. As I said earlier, the large candle represents Jesus, shining the light. Here's the city on the hill. I have a bunch of small candles. Don't worry, I have more if you all want to come up. This represents all the people in our lives who we would like to share the light of Jesus with. As Nicola and the worship team come up to lead us in our last song, if God has placed someone on your heart today, or multiple people, please keep multiple people to one candle. I've promised Brian I won't burn the church down. But if we do, at least we're starting the new year the way we want to continue, on fire for God. So, this candle represents somebody that God may have placed on your heart, that you would like to see the light of Jesus shining. Feel free to come on up and light a candle as a symbol of shining the light of Jesus in their lives this coming year. If that candle is you, feel free to stay up here for some prayer. If you are wanting prayer for the person that is on your heart, feel free to be up the front and request prayer, or turn to the person in the pew next to you and pray together for one another.
Together, this lovely prayer. I think we might stay seated actually for